Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the soon return of Jesus to this earth. To help us get a framework of understanding with which to assess things we hear about the second coming. A lot of voices talking about it at this time, and some of the stuff that's being said is good, and some of it is not so good. We've already covered a lot of ground. It's already Thursday. I can't believe it, so I want to jump right in pretty much to where we left off yesterday. One of the points that we're making, well, we're making several key points. The main point is, you have to understand the second coming of Jesus in terms of the overall plan of God. Jesus is coming again in the not too distant future to complete God's plan of redemption. He's going to cleanse the earth from every trace of sin, corruption, and death so that it can be a fit forever home for God and his family of redeemed sons and daughters. God is coming to earth to live with his family of sons and daughters forever. The second point that we've been making is there are way more people interested in the return of Jesus to this earth than just we who are alive right now. Everybody since Adam who has put faith in God's grace through the cross of Christ is interested in the return of Jesus. All the people who are in heaven are interested in the return of Jesus because they will come with him to this earth to be reunited with their original physical bodies raised from the dead to live on this earth forever in God's kingdom on this earth. And when we left off yesterday, we were talking about the fact that Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago to pay the price for sin so it could be removed and men could be born again and the kingdom of God could be established in the hearts of men. Kingdom means reign. The invisible reign of God in men's hearts through the new birth could be established once sin was paid for. All who put faith in Christ, the kingdom comes into them through the new birth. The prophets, the Old Testament prophets, had not seen this particular form of the kingdom of God clearly. But when Jesus left his disciples to go back to heaven, he told them, his first message to them once he returned to heaven was, I'll be back. He's coming back to complete the plan of redemption by establishing the visible kingdom of God on this earth. Now, his disciples went out and began to preach after he returned to heaven and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And as you read their sermons, you find that they preach the resurrection of Jesus. They preach the remission or the wiping out of sins. And they preach the return of Jesus to complete his plan of redemption. We read a portion of a sermon Peter preached in Acts chapter 3, where he said, the Lord has returned to heaven where he will remain until the times of the restoration of all things, just as the prophets have been predicting since the earliest days of mankind on this earth. God's been talking about the end since the beginning. When Adam sinned, a curse of corruption and death entered this world. Genesis chapter 3 says, verses 17 through 19, says that thorns and thistles began to grow. Men's bodies became mortal and subject to death because of sin. That curse that's in the earth that has produced killer storms and earthquakes that leads lions to rip up lambs and big birds to eat little birds, that is going to be removed and earth will be transformed. The Old Testament prophets talked about the conditions of Eden being restored on this earth. Now, we made the point that as you read through the sermons of the men who walked with Jesus when he was on this earth, and you read their sermons, they don't talk about looking for the Antichrist. They don't talk about storing up food for the tribulation. They don't talk about any of that stuff. And all that stuff had been revealed in the book of Daniel. Book of Revelation gives more information, but they knew there was harrowing times just before the return of Jesus, but they knew they'd make it through. Now, we left off with something Peter said. He was given information about he was given more specifics about the transformation that's going to take place in the earth at the time of restoration when the Lord returns. Now, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me start in verse 10. But the day of the Lord, that's a reference to the second coming, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person shall we be? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now this passage has been misinterpreted to mean that the earth is going to be destroyed by fire at the Lord's return. But that's not at all what it says. Peter's point is transformation, not destruction. These words melt and dissolved are actually in the Greek, they're from the word L-U-O, Lou, which means to loosen. It's the same word Jesus used when he called Lazarus forth out of his tomb. Remember, Lazarus died and Jesus raised him from the dead, and Lazarus came out bound with grave clothes, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Well, we know what that means. Unbind him. Set him free from the wrappings of the grave clothes. That's the word that's used here when Peter said the elements will melt and be dissolved. They're going to be loosed. Elements is a Greek word that means the most basic components of the physical world. In verse 12, the word melt comes from a word that we get the English word thaw from. Thaw means to reverse the effects of freezing. Winter releases its grip when the spring thaw sets in. The idea here is loosing the most basic elements of earth, molecules and atoms, from the curse that has bound this earth, the curse of corruption and death, that has bound this earth since Adam sinned in the garden. It's going to be loosed by the fire of God's word. God's not going to destroy the world. The molecules and atoms that make up our world are going to be loosed from the bondage of corruption and death by the fire of God's word. God's word is compared to fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire? God told Jeremiah, you're going to burn people with my words. See, just as God spoke his word in the beginning and created this physical material universe, he's going to speak again, and the atoms will be loosed and put back together, restored to their original condition pre-sin, pre-curse, pre-corruption, pre-death. I mean, think about it for a moment. Fire doesn't destroy anything, in that it makes it cease to exist. Fire causes things to change form. Wood is changed to ashes by fire. If you've ever watched a campfire from beginning to end, or coals in a grill from beginning to end, the coals don't disappear in that they cease to exist. The logs don't disappear in that they cease to exist. They change form. They go from a log or charcoal briquettes to a pile of ash. The heavens and the earth are going to be made new, is how the scripture says it. New heavens and new earth. Not new in the sense of never existed before. There's different Greek words that can be translated new. The word that's used when we speak of the new earth is kainos, and it means superior in quality, new in form. It doesn't mean new, never existed before. It's the same word used for a new creature. A new creature is not someone who's never existed before. A new creature is a person who's been transformed from death to life, from sinner to saint by the power of God. When Jesus returned to heaven after his ministry on earth, although, remember we talked about how Daniel gave the timetable, that the Lord would set up his kingdom in the time of a fourth empire ruling Israel. And we can count out in the historical record that Israel was ruled over by Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. The Roman Empire was ruling Israel when Jesus came the first time. When Jesus returned to heaven, although the fourth empire, Rome, was in place, 7 years of Daniel's other timetable, about 490 years between the time the prophecy, the time of the prophecy and the establishment of the kingdom, 7 years were unfulfilled. Now, I don't have time to read all this, but in Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9:27 sets those last 7 years of the 490 years apart from the rest of the years. Let me just read it. It says, "He, the prince of the people who crucified the Lord, will make a 7-year covenant or treaty with Israel and break it midway through. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration until he be destroyed." The Hebrew literally says that there'll be this guy who sets up an abomination of desolation. Well, when Jesus' disciples asked him shortly before his crucifixion, "What'll be the signs that you're coming back to set up your kingdom?" Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 15, a principal sign that will indicate his return is near is an abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Now, what in the world is that? Well, Paul was given the revelation that there's going to be a final ruler in place at the coming of Jesus who will set himself up in the temple of God to be worshiped. That is an abomination of desolation. Abomination of desolation is a phrase that means to do something that completely defiles the temple. There is coming a leader who will enter a temple in Jerusalem, declare himself to be God, and demand worship. That event will set off persecution and fighting in the Jerusalem area. Paul got a lot of information about that, but it was revealed to him that, well, gosh, we're coming to the end of the broadcast here. Maybe I'll leave that for a moment and finish up here and pick up right at this spot tomorrow. The whole point I'm trying to make is Jesus is coming to complete the plan of God, and that's a good thing. And yes, there will be difficulties, but God's people will make